Our Father and our God, we thank you for another hour of fellowship. We thank you as we gather together today. We give you glory and praise for this platform that gives us the opportunity to fellowship together every day. For they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine and in prayers and in breaking of bread and in fellowship. And you've made it also for us possible as they did in the early church. Today, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And we evoke the promise that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the things which the Lord already told us. Even so, let it be today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So today we are continuing on affirming God's promises, affirming God's word and recalling his promises, part two. The things that God has been telling us and promising us on this platform, we're calling them to remembrance and declaring them forth again. Praise the Lord. Because, you know, the word of the Lord is not bound by time. It's not bound by calendar year. So once the Lord has spoken it, Jesus said, well, heaven and earth may pass away, but one of his words will not have passed until it be fulfilled. So if there's anything that hasn't been fulfilled, well, we got to keep declaring it until it is fulfilled. Praise the Lord. So yesterday we shared an exhortation to remind us on how to call to remembrance what God has already said and just speak them forth. And it was given unto us yesterday concerning the lesson on the epic promise that God gave us. Today, I want to do the prophetic repairs, and I'm going to go through very quickly, but I want to engage those of you who are here to participate. It's one thing we said yesterday. I wanted to make it more interactive, in the sense that you yourselves are remembering those things and calling them forth. Now, as a reminder, just lately, on Sunday morning, I believe, this past Sunday, we talked about how to affirm his word, to mean what we say, expect what we say, and to doubt nothing, being an acronym for Amen. So today, let's affirm his word again. Yesterday, I also mentioned what is the meaning of faith lab. I mean, what do you do in a lab? Well, experimentation sometimes at the beginning, but also manufacturing. Once you have perfected the quote-unquote formula, well, then you are no longer experimenting with it unless you are doing more development. But that which is already perfected, put into production and an assembly line and production line can roll out the product line from what used to be, experimentation. Now, in the things of our faith, well, we start out by practicing faith, and then we become masters at it. You know, the profession of our faith, Paul calls it. Well, I mean, most professionals in their business, they're not apologetic about, you know, what they do. They know what they do. You know, some people are called SMEs, subject matter expert. Well, some of us may be subject matter experts in some things. And when it comes to those things, we're not apologetic about it. We know what we're talking about because of experience. Well, same thing with faith. We don't have to be apologetic about our faith. You know, we can develop our faith to the point where we know it works. It's a proven formula, you know, the proven formula, and it works. You do it the same way science will tell you that, you know, you do it the same way, you produce the same results. So today we want to affirm some of God's promises. Affirm, mean it, expect it, doubt nothing. So today I'll cover prophetic repairs, then I'm going to let you speak. I'm going to go through this very quickly. Prophetic repairs given to us sometime last year. Yesterday also I dismissed the thinking that when the Lord talks about a year, it may have to be confined to a calendar year. We dismissed that already. The year of my redeemed, which the Lord said has come, doesn't have to be confined to just 1 year. We've seen in the scriptures how a year may mean much more than the Lord. In fact, a day with the Lord can mean 1,000 years, let alone a year. When Jesus quoted the prophecy of Isaiah, and he talked about the acceptable year of the Lord, and he stopped short of reading the one that said the day of vengeance, we see that there was a split. And Jesus was focusing on the acceptable year. Whereas we know the day of vengeance is coming, but it's not quite here yet. So from that time until now, you might say we're still in the acceptable year. Praise the Lord. So whatever God promised for 1 year, we continue to use it until we get it. It's kind of like the Bible. I mean, some of the promises that we're reading in the Bible today were written thousands of years ago. And we're still shouting and believing God when we read them. So it's the same thing in our time. Having said that, let's look at the message on prophetic repairs. I asked you yesterday to do some homework on some of the many promises that the Lord has given us so that you'll be ready to share. Well, this is my piece on what I wanted to share with you, and then you can share as well. Prophetic repairs. If you take a look at the repairs as an acronym, there are several letters. 7, to be precise. The first one is R, then followed by E, then P, A, I, R, and S. There are many things that these letters could represent. Well, some of the ones we used when we taught the series were as follows. R for release. That means things that have been held up and obstructed will be released. Opening of gates as well. You know, Isaiah chapter 26 verse 2 talks about, open ye the gates that the righteous nation may go in. Likewise, Isaiah 45 and verse 2 talks about what the Lord will do to bring to pass this opening of gates. Isaiah says it in a little bit different way, and he says, I will go before thee, make straight the crooked places. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, cut in sunder, bars of iron. Gates and bars, those are different things that can be used to shut people in. But the Lord said, I will open up those things, cut them asunder, so you can have free passage. Praise the Lord. Also Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 10 talks about going through, something, for you to go through, it means the door is open or the gate is open or the barrier is removed. You know, sometimes barricades and barriers are set up so that people cannot pass through. For instance, when they are doing construction, road construction, they put a barricade in place so that you cannot pass through. Well, the Lord is saying that, you know, say, go through the gates. Well, you can't go through the gates if the gates are still closed. God will cause the gates to open up unto you. That's what it means, because it's open up. There's a story in Acts chapter 12 of Peter being held in prison. You know, Herod trying to kill him, and there's saints gathering together and praying. And then the angel of the Lord lighting upon Peter, bringing him out. The gates opened up to them by itself. The gates just opened up. The power of the Lord can do that. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up and cast up the highway. Gather out the stones and lift up a standard for God's people. So we're talking about release. You know, and you release the dam, the flood, the water comes through. But God is releasing, breaking barriers and different things to allow, you know, a flow of his spirit and his substance. It's a part that we ourselves must do, as written in Isaiah 52 and verse 2. Shake yourself from the dust, loose the bands around your neck or anything that devil put in there. Don't settle for it. Shake it off. And know that God has given you the victory. So all of these things have to do with release. I'll give you one more scripture on that. In the book of Micah chapter 2, you know, and verse 10, it says, the breaker has come up before them, broken up, passed through the gate. See, they've gone out of it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord at the head of them. So the Lord sends the breaker anointing. This is Micah chapter 2 and verse 13. You know, cause the gates to be open, and we pass through the gates. We've gone through it. Everything that devil blocked up before, the Lord said, I'm he that openeth, and no man can shut. So that's the R for the release. Well, okay. Now what about the E and the P and the A and the I and the R and S and so on? Well, let's talk through some of those quickly. These are things that God has promised, and you can believe them for today. You know, God has promised them, and his word will not fail until all be fulfilled. That's what Jesus said. Now, E, for expansion, and you might even call it exponential growth, gaining new territories. And we've talked about pushing limits, old limits to new horizons. Well, we can call this an opportunity for expansion and growth. Now, this ties back to the very beginning when the Lord said to Adam, after was pronounced over them, be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 1 and 28. Well, multiply means expansion, you know, and so forth. Likewise, God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 13, after that Lot had departed from him, he said, come out here and look around you from the place where you are and all the land that you can see will I give you. So God wants us to be visionaries, to see more in order to get more. And that's something that for this year as well, the Lord is speaking to us. Don't be limited by, you know, just a vision that goes nowhere. Believe God for greater things. The more you can believe, you know, the more the Lord will give you. Exodus 34 and verse 24 says, I'll cast out nations even before thee and enlarge thy borders. Hallelujah. You know, and thou shalt go out and appear before the Lord. And so these are some powerful promises the Lord gives us. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verses 6 and 8. It said, the Lord thy God is he that doth go before thee. He'll go with you as well. He'll take every step in following him, and don't stay behind. Keep lockstep with the Lord. Isaiah 54 in verses 1 and 3 tells us to that we will, I mean, you know, powerful, powerful promise, you know, of expansion as well. And with those words, if you can believe it, you can use those words to encourage yourself. Break forth, he said, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Lengthen your course, strengthen your stays, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Thy seed also shall inherit the Gentiles. Make the desolate places to be inhabited. That means the places where there has been nothing going on. A lot of things will start to spring forth. Areas in your life that have been barren begin to be fruitful. Praise the Lord. Now, so that's a promise about expansion. Micah chapter 4 and verse 13. You know, some of these promises are hidden in small places in the scriptures. But when you discover them, you use them for yourself. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. Glory to God. For I will make thine horn like iron, and I will make thy hoofs like brass, and thou shalt break in pieces. Many people, and I will concentrate their gain unto the Lord, their substance to the Lord of the whole earth. Yeah, this is what the Lord will do. You know, he will make even your gain to be dense. It won't be sparse. You know, God is going to bring tremendous increase, but you got to believe in expansion and see more from the Lord in order to get more. That's a story that Jesus himself told in Matthew chapter 13. And he told this parable in verses 31 and 32. And we call it parable of small things. You know, small things. Jesus called it a grain of mustard seed. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it's the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, and all the birds of the air come and lodge in it. Now, it starts out small, but it grows something powerfully. But you got to believe in that growth and push for that growth. Job chapter 8 and verse 7 says, you know, though thy beginnings were small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. You know, so something that starts out small, you know, God is speaking increase over it. Glory to God. Now, abundance, expansion, believing God, you know, even for more. Praise the Lord. Also, first, I'm going through this very quickly. First, Chronicles, you know, chapter 4 and verse 10 says, this was a prayer that people call the prayer of Jabez or whatever. This is what he said. You know, he called on the God of Israel saying, oh Lord, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him what he requested. He wanted enlargement of his coast. Well, you know, God is the God that's able to give more, but you got to believe for more. Yeah. All that you can see, the Lord said to Abraham, will I give you? This man wanted more, and the Lord granted him more. Praise the Lord. People call it prayer of Jabez, and so on. It's in the scriptures, based on because he wanted more. Glory to God. You know. And sometimes, you know, the God will give more, even when we think that there is nothing to be gained. God can just do something suddenly. There was a lesson in Luke chapter 5 where Jesus told Peter, go out there and do it again. And Peter was saying, well, I tried it, but it didn't work. And Jesus said, well, go do it again. I'll tell you what to do. And when he did it again, caught, we're told, a great multitude of fish was what he caught. They couldn't even contain it. But the instruction was, launch out into the deep. Don't stay on the banks. You got launch out means, you know, spread out. Go farther out, you know. And God will bring that, bring something tremendous to happen in that expansion. So this year also, we believe the ministry here, Walking with God, will be expanding. He said, well, expand your coasts, lengthen your cord, strengthen your stakes, and so forth. For thou shalt break forth on the left and on the right. You know, so we're believing God for that as well. Break forth here and there. Yeah. So that's the E. Moving on to the P. P can be for positioning and possession. Yeah. Call it, the time for you to begin to possess your possessions. Praise the Lord. Now you come into your own, the Lord said, the devourer will not be able to dispossess you, you know, from the inheritance of the Lord. Everything that God has given you that you have not yet obtained, you begin to take possession of such in Jesus' name. You know, these are the promises that we believe for such things. In the book of Genesis, chapter 22, we read a quiet but, powerful thing. You know, wherein the Lord said that in blessing will I bless thee, and in multiplying will I multiply thee. You know, the stars of heaven, the sand is giving, and you shall possess the gates of your enemies. God wants us to possess. But let's keep in mind that we're always pursuing the Lord first. But at the same time, we're believing his promises for other things as well. In the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 30, the Lord gave these the children of Israel opportunity to go in and possess, you know. And, you know the story. Here's what Caleb said to them when the others were saying, we can't do it. Well, Caleb steal the people from Moses and say, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. So God wants certain possessions to come into us, but we have to be determined in our mind that we are able to go forward to possess. Praise the Lord. Again, in the same story in Numbers 14, 6 and 9, people were still grumbling that we can't do it. Joshua, Caleb, they knew they could do it. And they made some, powerful proclamations. Joshua said, that the land which we search through is an exceeding good land. And the Lord, if he delight in us, will bring us into it and give us the land. You know, and that he said, look, we're able to go in. These people are bred for us. You know, we can take them. And the Lord will give it to us. These are people who are confident that God will give them the possession that he has promised and even purchased for us in the case of Christ. Praise the Lord. So these are powerful promises. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 24. The Lord promised and gave this admonition, to the children of Israel. Rise up, he said. Take your journey. I've given it to you, Sihon the Amorite and all these people. Begin to possess. Hallelujah. And contend with him in battle. Well, possession comes with contention in battle. But the Lord said, I will contend with him that contends with you. So you got to begin to possess. It's not that you possess it all at once, but you got to begin to possess. So at this, as the start of this year, as we are reminding ourselves of these promises, well, let's engage these promises in the spirit. Activate the promise of God by faith. That's how it works. Yeah, those to whom it was spoken at one time that we didn't mix with faith in their hearts, it profited them nothing. I mean, all the hundreds and hundreds of promises that are in the Bible profit people nothing at all until you take the promise and activate it by faith for yourself. Otherwise, it's just there. Yeah, so these are things that we must activate. For ourselves, begin to possess is what the Lord said. Likewise in Deuteronomy chapter 4, it tells them, in verse 1 that, you will go in and you will possess the land which the Lord has given you. But you must keep the word of God. Add to it. Don't do this and don't do the other. You cleave to the Lord your God and he will give you these possessions. Praise the Lord. So many promises that God gave us, and we are reviewing them here in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 11. You can also read, what the Lord promise them to go in and possess the land. Multiple scriptures. And the Lord said unto me, arise, take thy journey before the people that they may go in and possess the land, which I swear unto them, their fathers, to give it to them, to possess it. Joshua chapter 1, first 4 verses, the Lord promised Joshua that, wherever he goes, whatever he steps on, the place the soles of his feet will tread upon, will give it to him for a possession. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17, the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Glory to God. So all these scriptures are telling us that God wants us to get what is ours. But it's also an encouragement, because sometimes people don't know what is theirs and they are just there. And the devil is taking advantage of their lack of knowledge to keep them under. See, because Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. If you don't know what's yours, the devil take advantage to keep you in darkness, not knowing what the things God has freely given us and the power of faith in God's promises to bring to pass God's promises be a reality for you. The devil will try to keep us in darkness if you don't know. Praise the Lord. But we should know. The book of Isaiah chapter 61 verse 7. Powerful chapter, that Isaiah 61. Talking about, the anointing of the Lord on our lives to do great things. Jesus himself quoted it. And remember that Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. But here's something that the Lord said in that same Isaiah 61 verse 7. For your shame, ye shall have that double. And for confusion, ye shall rejoice in your portion. Therefore, in your land, you will possess that double. That's right. You can believe that. God will give it to you exactly like the scripture says. An everlasting joy, shall be unto them. In Isaiah 62 verse 8. the Lord makes this powerful statement of assurance. He even swears, which he doesn't have to. Once God says something, it's just like it is. Doesn't need to back it up by any oath, but he did, show you how strong the thing is that he's saying. Isaiah 62, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely, now that's it, I will no more give your corn to be meat for thy enemies. Yeah, so, people have been eating your labor, stealing from you, passing you over, for those things that should be yours. I won't give it to them anymore. The sons of the stranger will not drink your wine, for which thou hast labored. They that have gathered it shall eat it. Praise the Lord. They that brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. These are things, powerful things that the Lord promises for possession. Now, you got to be in the right place for possession. That's why we also added positioning. If you're in the wrong place, then it's not going to work. You got to be in the right place. And God will show you, like he told Peter, go over to this side and cast your net on that, in that place. You got to follow the instructions like that. There is also coming, something that God will begin to transfer to the people of God. In the book of Daniel chapter 7, Daniel talked about it quite a bit. Between verses 18 to about verse 28, in multiple verses, Daniel 7, 18, Daniel 27, 21 to 22, and 27 to 28. It talked about the saints taking and possessing the kingdom, and that God will not give it to other people, but it will come to them. The judgment shall see. The kingdom shall be given to the saints of the people of God, or the people of the saints of God. And then he says that they shall possess the kingdom. Take it. And, what is the kingdom, you ask? Well, Jesus said this kingdom, was actually prepared for you according to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. Jesus said, this kingdom was prepared for you before the world began. But at the appointed time, God will release it, begin to release elements of that kingdom, to people, to begin to enjoy. The first thing, though, is you must be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, cannot enter to the kingdom of God. Now, the moment you are born again, though, you have entered. So, once you enter, once you're born again, that's the door to the kingdom. Now you have entered. Now you begin to discover the things in the kingdom that God wants you to have. Praise the Lord. These are powerful, powerful admonitions that go with the promises of God. In the book of Matthew 11 and verse 12, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. Violent are taking it by force. They're using their faith. They're not just sitting back and wishing that things will be. No. The Bible says, asking Job, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? Job put his hand on his mouth. He couldn't answer it. But God has now given us wisdom that we can command the morning. Glory to God. Don't just let things be, have a say in it. That's what God has given us. So the Adam to have dominion. Whatever Adam said, God just stood back and said, that's cool. So we also, can command the morning, the womb of the morning, and the day is pregnant. Don't just sit back and let things be. Influence your day by the word of God that you speak out of your mouth. That's what Matthew 11 and 12 means, taking it by violence, Remember, Jesus told these lessons in the book of Luke. He was talking about a man, a strong man that is sitting with his goods, you know. And when he is stronger than he come upon him, you know, then he would take from him that which is trusted, destroy his armor and so forth. Well, stronger than a strong man, well, that's a force of spiritual arms. Spoiling the spoiler, well, that's a force of spiritual arms. You can't do it by yourself, but the Lord has given us the grace. Behold, I give you power over all. That's all, not some, you know, of the power of the devil and the enemy. And nothing, you know, shall by any means hurt you. So, that's taking the kingdom by force. And Jesus promised us the kingdom. Powerful stuff. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, he said, you know, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to possess it. The Father's good pleasure. You know, furthermore, in Luke 22 and 29, Jesus made a powerful declaration and said, behold, I appoint unto you a kingdom. You know, even as my Father appointed me, so I appoint it unto you. Come on in and possess it. You know, ye blessed of the Lord, enter into the kingdom that I appoint to you. Praise the Lord. So that's the P for positioning and possession. Then follows the A for acceleration and advancement. God also promised that. What is acceleration? Spiritual acceleration and advancement. Well, the supernatural ability of God to bring his plans and purposes and even his word and his will to pass in your life at a rate that is much faster than humanly possible. It's kind of like quantum leap. Things that have lingered will suddenly get done. And be able to accomplish a great deal more in a short time, you know, than all the previous struggles. That's what acceleration and advancement means. You know, the, some people, you know, drag, things just happen to, you know, just like things just drag in your lives. There's this procrastination and snail spirit, just drag, drag, drag. And the Lord said, no, I'm going to snap that. Glory to God. And God will make things done quickly and move you into spiritual advancement into blessings that God wants you to have. Glory to God. Now let's read some quick scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Remember when the Lord called this Jeremiah? He was thinking, well, you know, I'm just a little boy. I can't do anything. The Lord said, it's not you that's going to do it. It is the zeal of the Lord that's going to do it. The Lord said unto me, Jeremiah 1 and 12, I will hasten my word to perform it. Hasten means accelerate it. Push it. Glory to God. You know, God will not even allow the thing to drag. I'm going to hasten it. Thank you, Jesus. So those are promises that we can believe. I mean, why would God need to hasten his word? Well, because there are elements that are fighting against the word of God. Daniel was praying for 21 days, but the prince of Persia was resisting his prayer. The answer was already dispatched from the day that he started to pray. You know, but the devil was there to resist it. Well, Lord said, I'm going to hasten it. Glory to God. Cause it to move quickly through all the blockages, the roadblocks, the hindrances, the gates of brass, the bars of iron. Hasten my word, to perform it. Praise the Lord. You know, God can also hasten things for you. Same story we read in Luke chapter 5, that Jesus hastened something for Peter, something that he couldn't do hours and hours and hours and hours throughout the night. I caught nothing. In a moment of time, just few moments, Jesus hastened it, spoke, And it was done. He commanded and he stood fast. As soon as he spoke, all the fish heard him. They started moving in the direction that Jesus pointed to. Glory to God. And in just a few moments, you know, Peter and his friends accomplished tremendous things that they spent hours and hours and could not get it done. That's like a quantum leap, acceleration, and advancement that God will give. And God wants us to go forward, always. Habakkuk said, look, now this man Habakkuk, he faced a lot of things. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. It's all the things he faced, but what he determined that he would do. But in verse 19 is the advancement that God will give him because he would not give up. So let's read Habakkuk chapter 3. We're going to read 17 to 19. Say, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall there be fruit in the vines, the labor of olive shall fail. Look at all the things that this man lost. Nothing going on for him. The vines, everything cut out. Fields are yielding no meat. Flocks were cut out. No herd in the stalls. I mean, you talk about losing all their investment. You know, it looks, sounds to me like bankruptcy. They lost everything. There's nothing going on anywhere. Well, he made up his mind, though. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. My joy, none of these things can take away. Yeah, that's a posture that the Lord loves. You know, the devil may come at you, cheap shot you. Maybe you made a mistake and he take advantage of you, drain everything from you and so on. Well, what are you going to do? Well, encourage your soul in the Lord, like this man did. And what's God's answer finally? Verse 19. The Lord God is my strength, and it will make my feet like hinds feet. That's acceleration. It will make me to walk upon my high places. Again, glory to God. So the Lord will respond when we ourselves have the right posture. And the Lord always told his people, you know, advancement, go forward. Exodus 14 and 15 said, go forward. Isaiah 62 and 10, go through. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 3. Even Paul, you know, got in on some of this action too. And he, you know, he said the same thing in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, you know, stop rewinding. Leave that alone. Stop, keep, you know, get your eyes off of the rearview mirror. Move forward. You know, he said, look, forgetting those things which are behind, but pressing forward, he said, unto those things, reaching forward to those things that are before, I press toward the mark. This guy will not be stagnant. It's always moving. And so we must not be stagnant. The spirit of stagnation, God will break that thing so that we can move forward. Glory to God. And there's that snail, stagnant spirit, slow, ugly spirit. God will break it, cause advancement for you this year and beyond in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. The Lord also spoke blessings in Proverbs chapter 4, you know, verses 25 through about 27. Blessings for us to, when we believe the Lord, these things can happen for us. He said, look, you know, let thine eyes look straight on. Don't be looking back all the time. Look straight on. Let our eyelids look straight before thee. Keep your eyes on the road ahead. Not keep looking behind all the time. You know, ponder the path of thy feet, ways. Be established. Don't turn the left or the right, you know. Just keep moving forward. Glory to God. You know, so even Proverbs, you know, would instruct us about that as well. And the Lord has promised that his word will no longer be delayed. The spirit of delay is what God wants to break. Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 25 to 28, you know. People used to say, well, everything is delayed. Everything is delayed. It's going to take a long time. It's in the future. Yeah. We're always talking about the past. We're always talking about the future. But God said, no. From now on, we will not use this proverb anymore. The proverb of saying, well, my words, his words are prolonged. The vision is for yet appointed long, long time. He said, I have spoken it and I will do it as well. Praise the Lord. My words shall no longer be delayed, he said. So, you know, God's taking and breaking that delay. So that's the A for acceleration and advancement. What about the I for in repairs, prophetic repairs? Or that could be for increase. The Lord has promised a year of increase. Praise the Lord. Be fruitful, multiply that increase. In the book of Leviticus chapter 26, the first few verses also talked about increase. And the word of God is there for us to believe, like I said, and activate. Praise the Lord. When you do all these things, keep his word, focus on the Lord, make him your chief joy. He said, well, the land shall yield your increase. I will give you rain in due season. Verse 4. That's in Leviticus 26, verse 4. I'll give you rain. Your land shall yield thy increase. The trees of the field shall bear their fruit. Glory to God. And everything you do will prosper. Basically, is what he's saying. You know, from one sowing time until the next, the Lord will cause your land to be full and they will yield and different things will come to your land. I'll give you peace in the land also. None shall make you afraid. Glory to God. Chase out your enemies. Come out one way before you fly away seven different ways and so on. And you put 10,000 to flight and all of that. Five of you chase 100. 100 of you take 10,000. All these things, you know, God wants us to know that he can give us increase, but he has to drive away, you know, the pests that are trying to eat up the increase that God has given you. Praise the Lord. But he will give you, and he has given us that increase, but we have to enforce it. We are enforcers of the word of God. What God already spoke, that's what we affirm. That's what we are doing here, affirming his word, meaning what we say, expecting it, and nothing doubting. Praise the Lord. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, powerful promises in verses 3 to 5 of how the Lord will also bless because we are doing that which is right in his sight. Blessed shall thou be in the city, blessed in the field. Bless the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Your basket will be blessed. Your storehouse will be blessed. Blessed when you go in. Blessed when you come out. I mean, just look at all these blessings coming upon you. Increase everywhere. And blessings coming. Well, you know, because you keep the word of God. Hallelujah. I referenced Job 8 and 7 before. Starts little, but greater things coming. And many more things like that. Increase that the Lord will give begins with a heart that is yearning after the Lord. Not exactly after those things. Because Jesus said, seek first my kingdom. And then, you know, all these other things will be added. Praise the Lord. And as long as we are keeping our eyes on the Lord, he'll be giving you instruction. And these things will actually be pursuing and purchasing you. The psalmist said the Lord has established and enlarged his steps under him. Psalm 18 and verse 36. My feet did not sleep. The Lord enlarged, increased my steps. You know, there's increase coming. And God actually loves for things to increase. He doesn't like things to be stagnant. That's why he put a blessing in everything he created. He said, let the tree, you know, have fruit yielding, seed yielding fruit within itself from the beginning. Gave the ability for the seed to multiply because he loves that. Yes, things just multiply. Praise God. So we also must increase. You know, God wants us to increase and not diminish. You know, he said, even in the land, when they take you away captive, do these things, you know, so that you will increase and not be diminished. Give your children wives, give them away, take wives for your sons, I mean, your daughters, give them away, take away for your sons, that you'll be increased and not diminished. God doesn't like, you know, us to diminish. He wants us to increase. Praise the Lord. Let me, trying to go through this very, very quickly. Let me read, a few more, scriptures here. And then I want to cover this in one lesson, because we've done this before. It took series of lessons then. Many promises that God gives us, Psalm 115 verse 14 says, the Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. That's an increase. Even in Psalm 92 verses 12 to 13, increase of the Lord comes even in old age. So it was still increasing. You'll be fat. You'll be flourishing, you know, because you are planted in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, those are powerful promises, you know. Never think that you are too old for God to increase you. I'm not talking of just children. I mean, increase you on every side. Increase you in wisdom. Increase you in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Increase you even in, you know, physical blessings. Increase the wellness of your health and everything. You know, the Lord said you will increase you. And then also, you know, you and your children. Believe it not just for your children. Believe it for yourself as well. But say you and your children. And Jesus himself, he said, I and the children that God has given me. First him and then the children. Praise the Lord. And God wants that increase for us all the time. Psalm 85 and verse 12 says, yes, the Lord shall give that which is good. Now our land will yield an increase, you know. When God prospers you like that, things begin to increase. The beauty of our God shine upon you, Psalmist said in Psalm 90, verse 16. He said, well, let the beauty of our God shine upon him, us. Let him prosper even the work of our hands. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, thy glory unto their children. Two of you together, you and your children always. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands. And yea, establish and prosper it too. Praise God. So that's increase. Many more scriptures about increase, and so on and so forth. And in the Bible, there were some examples of tremendous increase. Abraham, in Genesis 13 and 2, the Lord blessed him and increased tremendously. Isaac, in Genesis 26, verses 12 to 14, was a man of tremendous increase. Jacob, in Genesis 30, verse 43, was a man of tremendous increase. Israel, in Psalm 105, verse 24, the Lord brought them up out of Egypt with substance and great increase. David himself, in 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verses 25 to 28, tremendous blessings, this David man. He laid up even things for his son, all the stuff that Solomon used to build those great, you know, buildings, his house, the temple. David laid up most of it. And Solomon himself, 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 23 and 27, loaded with a lot of blessings. Praise God. You know, now you say, why are you going through this so quickly? We can't catch up. But that's because these are lessons we already taught. I'm not teaching them for the first time. So that's why I'm just going through very quickly. Hezekiah in 2nd Chronicles chapter 32. He was a man that was blessed tremendously in verses 27 to 29. So, you know, there were so many blessings that the Lord gave. Now, today in the New Testament, God does not focus too much on individual wealth, but he focuses more on the pattern that we saw in the early church, where nobody lacked anything. Praise God. So today we need what I'm calling kingdom financiers. Ha! Glory to God. You know, that's a subject that we must develop some more on this year. People that will understand treasures, hidden treasures or secret places, the treasures of darkness, the merchandise of Ethiopia, men of Sabians, and coming over in structure. God begin to transfer the wealth, you know, but he only put it in the hands of those that know how to finance the kingdom. Not in the, you know, in the olden days, people amassed wealth for themselves, you know, and God did it too, but he blessed them. Now, you know, that's not what God's interested in. You know, God will bless the kingdom. None will lack. It doesn't matter whether you are a janitor or a CEO of something. Everybody will have plenty, you know, because that's what God wants to do at the end. It's coming though. Those that know how to give it away, God will always make a way to get it to them. Listen to that. If you know how to give it away, the Lord will always make a way to get it to you. That's the principle of kingdom financiers. That's in their mind. You know, they are doing something for the Lord and God will begin to bring it to them so that they can do even more. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's do the last hour quickly, restoration and rest. And the Lord promised a year of rest and restoration, for all areas of our lives. A song we sang or played at the beginning said, I will restore. You restore your health. Exodus 15:26. Exodus 23:25. Deuteronomy 7:15. Isaiah 33:24. All these things talk about your health. In fact, Isaiah 33:24 says, the inhabitants of the kingdom shall not say that they are sick. That's a language which we must not be using. It's a new law. A law of wellness in the kingdom. He doesn't want us to be sick. If you are sick, he will heal you. But more so, he wants us to enjoy wellness. Jeremiah 30:17 says, I will restore health unto you. I will heal you of all your wounds. Praise God. You know, likewise also, Jeremiah 33:6, you know, God promises, I mean, we can, on just the subject of health and wellness alone and the restoration that God promised, we can take a whole lesson on just that one. But there's so many promises because God wants us to be, you know, prosper and be in health. Jeremiah 33:6, I will bring health and cure. I will cure them. I reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. These are the promises of God. And we can enter into those promises this year and beyond. Praise the Lord. Malachi 4:2. Unto them that fear the name of the Lord, that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. I mean, 3 John 1:2. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Not just so prosperous. Health is just so, so powerful. Deuteronomy 7:15 says, the Lord will remove all these things, you know, put none of these things upon you, sicknesses and diseases and so forth. He wants us to be in health, you know, not put them upon you, put them upon the wicked though, but not upon you. Praise the Lord. So God said he will restore our health. Joel 2:23-25 talks about many things that God will restore. Well, I will restore, said the Lord. Joel 2:25. I will restore, said the Lord. I will restore, said the Lord. Well, one of the other things he will restore, your freedom and your liberty. In the book of Leviticus 26:13, the Lord said, I am the Lord that delivered you from the land of bondage and caused you to go upright so that you will not be in servitude anymore. He wants you to be free. Huh? Glory to God. Isaiah 14:24-27 talks about the anointing that will break the power of the devil and the spirit of oppression in the lives of God's children. Jesus himself said in John 8:32, you know, when you know the truth, it's going to make you free. And I often say it's the truth that you know that can make you free. The truth by itself doesn't make anybody free. The truth is in the word of God all the time. The Bible is there. It doesn't make anybody free. It is the people that discover it. That's why the devil doesn't want you to discover it. You discover that truth. You activate it for yourself. That's when it makes you free. Martin Luther, you know, and the rest of them, they discovered some truths in the word of God and it set them free. Glory to God. The Lord said, I will give you double for your trouble. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61 verse 7, Zechariah chapter 9 verse 12 talks about the double. Glory to God. Double. And even people that have lost things, Job chapter 42 verse 10. Job lost a lot of things. The Bible said the Lord gave him double, you know, except for the children. He had exactly the same number of children, but everything else, she, asses, donkeys, cows, cattle. You know, if he had 3,000 in the beginning, he had 6,000 at the end. If he had 1,000 at the beginning, he had 2,000 at the end, and so on and so forth. God just doubled up everything for him. The Lord said, I will restore you from depression and hurt. I will keep you in perfect peace. Isaiah 26 and 3. Also, Psalm 147 verse 3. Powerful promises that God gives us. And we must use these promises for ourselves this year and beyond, you know, in the things that God has promised. The Lord healeth the broken in heart, he said. And people that are dealing with, you know, mental, emotional issues and so forth. Bind up your wounds and heal the broken heart. That's what he said. The same thing in Isaiah 61, you know, that he will heal the brokenhearted. Praise the Lord. And on and on and on, the Lord gives us these powerful, powerful promises. Gladness and joy will be restored to the children of God. Isaiah 35 verse 10 and Isaiah 51 11. Therefore shall the redeemed of the Lord return and obtain gladness and joy. Everlasting joy shall be on their heads. Sorrow and sadness and all these things will flee away. God even promises to restore relationships. Glory to God. Malachi chapter 4. Verses 5 to 6, parental and child, parental versus child, father and children relationship. God said it will restore, will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Fathers must take the first step though. Turn the hearts of the children towards the fathers as well. You know, make reconciliation. He will do that. He promised us rest. Exodus 33 and 14. Promised us rest. Matthew 11, 28 and to 30. Restore rest unto you. Mark 6 and 31. Come ye yourselves apart to desert place and rest. These are the things that bring recovery. Now, what about righteousness and salvation? Oh, my goodness. The Lord has promised that for us this year to bring that forth. Isaiah 45 and verse 8. Drop down, ye heavens, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let them meet together. The earth open up. Salvation will spring forth. Righteousness will spring forth in the earth. The Lord has created it, he said. You know, and on and on and on. You know, now, whatever the enemy has taken from you, you even lost through your own misdoings or errors. The Lord said in Joel 2:25-27, I will restore. Huh. Praise God. The devil took a lot of things from, the enemies took a lot of things from David in the story of Ziklag for Samuel 30. But in verse 8, the Bible says that the Lord restored to him everything for Samuel 30 and 8 and even more. Praise God. So God is able to do that. In the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, he lost a lot of things through his own foolishness. And, you know, lack of prudence and, you know, wild life and everything. But yet, when he turned toward the Lord in verses 22-24 of Luke 15, the Father restored him. Glory to God. And God can restore you too. It doesn't matter how you got to where you are now. The devil did it to you. You did it to yourself through lack of wisdom or whatever. You turn unto the Lord and he'll bring you out and can restore you as well. Promised that this will be a restoration year for us. In fact, Isaiah 58 verse 12 say, you yourself, you know, will be a repairer of breach, restorer of paths to dwelling. God will use you even to restore, you know, beautiful things in the life of people, such as we are doing now, even in this exhortation. The last of the repairs is an S, which is successes. God promises a year of great successes. Joshua 1 and 8. He said, whatsoever you do, you shall have good success. Why? Because you are constantly meditating on the word of God. You're constantly using it. The word of God is where the power lies. Same thing in Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And these are all the things that will happen to him. Shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. That means he will never be out of season. His leaf shall also not wither. There is no winter or dead season for him. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Celebrations and successes coming for those that put their trust in the Lord, even in this year. Praise the Lord. Now, many more things of success and celebrations. Second Chronicles chapter 31, you know, verses 20 to 21. Let's just see all the things, you know, that the Lord is promising. And why does the Lord promise all these things? Well, it is for us to engage. When you engage in these promises, you know, it allows the word of God to be activated, you know, by your faith. That's how it works. Otherwise, it is of no effect at all. You know, but once you believe the word of God, glory to God, and you engage yourself that way, then the Lord is going to do great things for us. You know, now, what was the verse I said I wanted to read? Okay, Second Chronicles chapter 31. I want to read from verse 20. You know, and thus did Hezekiah throughout all of Judah, wrought that which was good and so forth before the Lord. And in every work that he began to do, you know, in the law and the commandments to seek his Lord, he did it with all his heart and he prospered. That's great successes in everything that he did. Praise the Lord. And also in, you know, even the spiritual things, the word of God multiplied, grew, had great successes. Acts 12, 24, Acts 19, 20. All these things come to us from the Lord this year and beyond. So we have great successes on the spiritual, on any material side. Psalm 65, verses 9 through 13. Let me close with this one. Psalm 65, verses 9 through 13. Praise the Lord. And it says, the Lord will visit, and he will visit the earth and water it, and enrich it greatly with the river of God, which is full of water. I will prepare them corn, even as I have prepared it for them. Waters it, you know, settle it, make it soft with showers, bless it with springing flow, crown the year. It's a beautiful one. The Lord will crown this year with thy goodness, and the paths will draw fatness, and so on. May the Lord crown the year with successes, goodness for all of us in Jesus' name. So that's the prophetic repairs. I went through that very, very, very quickly. I did not stop to read every scripture because we've done this lesson before, earlier part of last year. So this word of God is provided for us and it's still valid for this year and you should engage it for yourself. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these powerful, powerful promises that by these, the Bible says, we might be partakers of the divine nature, victorious in many things. in our health, in our spiritual wellness, in our well-being, God restoring things that the enemy has taken, that we have lost, and bringing us into position, accelerating things for us. And we give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. Give us an understanding heart to know how to engage these promises of God, affirming your word, meaning it when we say it, expecting it to come to pass just like we say, and nothing doubting. And we say, amen and amen.